have a word of prayer with you. Father, thank you for letting us come here to study your word, to share the things on our heart, to be in fellowship with one another in a Christ-like manner. Thank you for guiding us through this study and your book that you have had written for us to learn more about you in prayer. We thank you for answered prayer. We thank you, Lord, for allowing us to lift up our sick ones and those with special needs. We know that you hear our prayers, you say so. And I ask that you lead, guide, and direct us, Lord, as we do study this great subject, the greatest work that a Christian can do. In Jesus' name, I ask these things. Amen. Okay. Now bear with me with this sinus that I've got. A lot of you have asked me about my shingles. They're still here, but they're a lot better. Last Sunday, I really didn't know whether I was going to be able to teach the class or not. They were that bad. But they're much better today. Excuse me. And thank y'all for your prayer. Just keep them going. I'm not going to wear a towel. Now you see me wearing a towel, they're all gone away. So, in the meantime, I'm just going to come in kind of casual-like. Turn your Bibles to the book of James, first chapter. I'm going to run you around in Scripture here a little bit today, but it's necessary. One of the things that people seem to be so concerned about in prayer is this. What position does my body have to be in to pray? Now that really seems to be a serious issue with a lot of people. I get a lot of calls about this. Do I stand? Do I kneel? What do I really do when I pray? Well, I'm not going to read you all the scriptures in the Old Testament or even in the New Testament that describe the position of prayer. But I'm just going to kind of generalize what you will find in Scripture if you go through and seek out every time God mentions somebody praying in the Bible. I'm going to tell you, it's standing, it's kneeling, it's hands lifted up, head bowed down to the ground, striking the breast. The position is not important. Let me say that as an initial thing in prayer. The position is not important. It's what's in your heart that's important. Now let me say this though, let me add this to that. There are many times in your life as a Christian that when something extremely serious is on your mind or that you want to talk to God about or communicate with Him, I will say this, and Pastor John demonstrated this the other night. Wings tonight, if you're not coming, come. It's really great. He got down here on his face on the book to show you. And I think this is a great example for every person's life. Back in my study, and I don't tell many people this because I don't want anybody to think I'm some kind of super holy guy, because I'm not. But when things get real serious, certain issues come up in my life or even in your life that you tell me about, that I really want God to know that I'm taking everything out of my mind and that I'm dead serious and I don't want anything to get me out of focus on this issue, I will close my door and I will get on my face. I've nearly lost my wife 3 times in our life that we've been married. And I'll tell you, all 3 times I got on my face on that floor, on that rug back there that many of you walked on, and I prayed for God to spare her life. And so far He has. So if you really want to get serious, something has come up that is dead serious in your life, don't hesitate to get on your face. A lot of people in the Scripture did. And they let God know that, hey, you know, this is serious business. I have a great, great need. But you'll find all kind of positions throughout Scripture. It's not the position, it's the condition of your heart that's important. So remember that. You have what I call foxhole prayers. Any of you been in the military, or maybe not even in the military? I mean, you have something going on in your life that you need an immediate prayer. I remember one of my foxhole experiences in the Air Force. We had lost an engine, and we were coming in for an emergency landing, and the nose gear wouldn't come down. So I was laying in the nose wheel with a pry bar trying to prise the gear down into place as we were approaching the runway. And I can remember praying, "Lord, let me get this gear in place, because if it didn't go in place, I'd have been a pancake in about 2 or 3 minutes." It popped into place. Now, God answered my prayer, and I appreciate that very much. So that's what I call a foxhole prayer. A lot of you people know what that's about. So, excuse me. So, those are things that you do in your life. God understands, and fortunately, He answers for us many, many times. In the book of James, I'm going to give you some, I call them rules for praying, or some guidelines would probably be a better word. In the book of James, look in the first chapter, look at verse 5. 5 through 8. In the book of James. "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God." Now notice, if you lack wisdom, if you don't understand something in Scripture that you're reading, or if you have something going on in your life and you really can't figure it out, he says here, "Ask of God that giveth to all." That word "men," if you have a translation that has the word "men" in there, it's not in the Greek. Take it out. Ladies, you're involved here too. "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all liberally." Men and women, children. There's nothing greater than seeing an innocent little child pray, because they just, you know, all the things of the world haven't affected them. They're just great in prayer. "That giveth to all liberally and upbraideth not." When you ask for something from God, and you're asking in the right train of heart, God doesn't upbraid you. When your child comes to you and asks for something that, you know, that they have a petition to you, do you chew them out? No, you don't. Even if it's something that's not right that they don't need. I have a granddaughter that lives next door to me. She's 11 years old. Y'all saw her probably last Sunday here. And she asked a whole lot of things. And probably a large majority of them I turned down. But I don't jump on her case when I do it. I explain to her why and just tell her no. God does not upbraid us when we ask for things. "And it shall be given him. Let him ask in faith, nothing wavering." Now notice this. This is very, very important. You are to ask in faith, nothing wavering. Don't waver about your request. "For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways." That's like going to God and petitioning him for something, and then immediately saying, "Well, I know he may not do it." But don't even ask him. Don't waste your breath. Don't waste your time if you're going to have that attitude. You ask believing in faith in the will of God, and then believe that He will do it according to your request if it is His will. Alright? But I've had so many people come to me and say, "You know, I've got this issue in my life and I prayed about it, but I know He's not going to answer it." Why even waste your time? Okay? If you're like that, then forget it. Your request is definitely not going to be heard. Turn over to the 5th chapter of James. In the 5th chapter, same book, James here has something else. And these scriptures have been greatly abused and misused. Verse 14. "Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church." Now there's nothing wrong with that. If you get sick and you want to call for the elders of the church, some of you have in here. I've participated with the pastor in some of these things. There's nothing wrong with that. Call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him. Okay? If you have a situation in your life that you want some serious praying, then call the elders of the church and let them pray over you. Anointing with the oil in the name of the Lord. This word anointing, there's two Greek words used in the New Testament for anointing. One means a godly anointing from God, Christ Himself, for you personally. And this other word, which is used here in the Greek, is a word. Anointing means to rub a person with oil. Actually rub them with oil. This was used in the medical processes in those days with olive oil especially. It was used as a medicine. That's what this is talking about. Anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. The prayer of faith. Notice it. The prayer of faith now. Shall save the sick. The Lord shall raise him up. And if he hath committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. There are illnesses that are related to sin. Okay? God can get our attention by putting an illness on us for sin. And it's saying here, the prayer of faith will save the sick, and if it's because of sin, God will forgive the sins of him and restore them back to health. Teddy. Well,
I guess what I'm asking is, can you pray for another person's salvation?
Sure. And the question is,
can
you?
Grant it?
Huh?
Will God grant it?
That's His prerogative. Now, what, Teddy? The question is, can you pray for another person's salvation? Certainly, certainly. There's no reason not to. In fact, there's every reason in the world to do that. I've talked to ladies. It seems like this is particular to women. I've talked to women who said, I've prayed for my husband for 40 years to be saved. There's nothing wrong with praying for another individual, okay, for salvation. You don't ever know what God is going to do with that individual's life or what that individual themselves is going to do. There's nothing wrong with praying for that whatsoever. Now, again, we have to turn it over to God and He'll do whatever He wants with that. We have to leave that with Him. That's, again, part of His sovereignty. Bennett and Sherry got questions. Okay.
Does Emmanuel practice anointing with oil if asked for?
We have, yes. Yes. I have been involved in that. Maybe some of the other deacons have, but I have, yes, with some of the pastors. I haven't with Pastor John yet, but I have with the other pastors that we've had here, yes.
Is there a form of, and I don't mean to use this word, is there a form of a ritual that is done?
No, there's no formulated ritual in Scripture. It just says to go pray for them. You can anoint them with oil. Usually it's a sign of the Holy Spirit that you're asking for the Holy Spirit to guide and strengthen this person and to heal them. So there's no set ritual for that. Okay. But yes, if you're seriously ill and you want that, that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. Sherry, did you have a question? I'll get to you in just a minute, Rita.
Well,
Sherry.
It seems like if you pray, like women that prayed 40 years for a husband, and it seemed like that prayer was not being answered, that it would kind of discourage you.
Okay. Question is, say a lady prays for her husband 40 years, and 40 years goes by, and he still hasn't made a commitment to Christ. Is that discouraging from a human standpoint? Yes, it is. From a God standpoint, no. We have to, again, think in terms of Christ. Continue to pray for that person.
But it just seems like sometimes you pray a prayer that's not a selfish prayer.
I know.
And it doesn't, you don't seem to think some of it. You think.
Yeah. One of the problems.
Why it would not be answered.
One of the problems, Sherry, is this. Sherry says, you should understand why it's not answered. One of our problems here is that we have developed, especially in our lives here and in this time frame, we've developed a McDonald's attitude. I want it now. You know? I want it right now. Well, God doesn't operate right now. If you look through the Old Testament, you will see prayers that were made for people or in the nation of Israel that go on for years and years and years before they were.
Our lives are short.
Time.
Our lives are short.
That's right.
Our life is a second.
That's right. But God may not answer in our lifetime. You know, the issue is it's not whether we're satisfied with the answer. It's that God is satisfied with what's done with it. That's what's important. Again, we want everything. We look at everything our way. There are people right now that I've prayed for years and years and years, and I still have not seen the effect in their life. Am I going to stop? No.
The only time I'm going to stop is when y'all see me in a casket here, or the Lord comes and gets me before that time. I'm not going to stop. Okay? That's our human weakness, is the tendency to do that. You don't need to stop doing that. You may not see the result. It may come after you're gone. I've talked to many people that I've prayed for a husband or a wife, then they, you know, they die, still praying for them, and then after their death, the individual gets saved or changes their life. That's what's, now they aren't here to see it, but it happened. We're not to give up. We are not to give up. Brenda?
What kind of oil? You want it pray over and wet, like holy water, or
is it what type of oil? Is that what you're saying, Ray? There's no particular type of oil mentioned in here. If you take the context of this and the day that it was written, it was probably just plain olive oil that people used. So, you know, if you're going to do this and you go down to Kroger's and you look on the shelf of olive oil, I mean, my goodness, what have they got? About 40 different kinds. That's not what's important. It's drawing attention to this person in prayer for God to look at for that situation. That's what's important. And there's no such thing as holy water, as you mentioned in Scripture. Yeah, I know. But I can be sure everybody understands it. Because I've dealt with holy water in my previous life, I call it, where I helped sprinkle a lot of people and used a lot of it myself in my past life. But so there's no such thing, really.
Why doesn't churches, including Emmanuel, make it more known to the congregation that this is something we probably should do?
The question is, why don't churches make this more known to their congregations? Well, I really don't know. Pastor and the staff can make it known. I mean, it's in Scripture.
But it's not practiced a lot.
No, it's not. And let me say this. One of the reasons that it's not is because some churches have abused this practice in a wrong way. So therefore, some churches have become adopted to the attitude, well, we won't do that or we won't mention it because it has been abused by others, and so we're not going to do it so we don't seem to be affiliated with the wrong use of it.
Does it make it more powerful, the prayers to God, that we do this?
It makes concentrated. You got to understand, it makes concentrated prayer to that person. I mean, think about this, okay? There's an individual in here that this was done to. I'm not going to say who it is, but I participated. Let me say this. What you're doing is you're calling for spiritual, walking, mature people to come in and to pray concentrated prayer over you because you're sick. You have a need. Okay? There is absolutely nothing wrong with that. So Wednesday night, Pastor John, and I like what he's doing, Pastor John asked everybody, hey, he designates certain people that he knows need special prayer. And they are pointed out, and then at the end of the service, people gather around them, put their hands on, and pray for them. There's absolutely nothing wrong. That's everything. I'll tell y'all right now, if I get sick, if I get deathly sick and I think I might die or I might not make it, you better believe I'm going to call for some people to come pray for me. I want it. I want it. It's Scripture. Yes, ma'am.
Now, I don't believe that the oil itself is absolutely necessary. I think it's the prayer.
That's right.
I mean, it's the coming together of the people of God who are so concerned about this person and want God to really focus in on this person. It's not necessary to smear oil on them. What's necessary is to get down on your knees and pray for this person with an humble spirit to the Lord. And to me, that can be just as concentrated, just as holy, just as, you know, calling from God as smearing anything on.
Yeah. Yeah, the smearing of oil, now, like I say, that was a mess, really.
Yeah.
in those times. That anointing was a medicine. The oil itself, let me say this, oil represents in Scripture, represents the Holy Spirit. It's a representation. Okay? So what you're doing is you're just asking, the Holy Spirit is here now indwelling us. You're asking for a concentrated attention of the Holy Spirit upon this individual. The oil is not the issue, like she says. It's the prayer. It's the attitude of the heart. You know. It was a symbol to the nation of Israel that God had picked out these two men, and I'm separating them. They're going to be your king, and the oil represents the Spirit of God to be upon them since they're going to lead the nation of Israel. That's what it represented.
Can I say one other thing?
You sure can.
While y'all talk about this prayer and the morning, I've also been in services where, like right now, if I want to stand in for my brother, I've had a prayer talk to the Lord in the oil, and it would be delivered to the person that maybe they're unable, they're so sick, and that's the act of faith that you have. In fact, another key word is the righteous individual.
Mm-hmm.
Praying. Earnest prayer. It has to be earnest, it has to be from the righteous.
Right.
That tells you, on down in James, I was reading where it tells them that they have much power.
Yeah.
If they're righteous.
Sorry. Yeah, the prayer of a righteous man availeth much. There are some more guidelines in here which we'll get to, as we study along. Prayer is an interesting thing. But it seems to be so much confusion about it, but yet it's the greatest work that a Christian can do. These prayer sheets here, that Jan puts out, you know, these are important. I want people to realize they're important. Your list that you get on email, these are people who have issues, who have problems, who are requesting prayer. It's a serious thing. And I hope people take it serious. I spend a lot of time a week in prayer. I really, there was a survey done several years ago about ministers filling the pulpit here. And the 65% of the ones that were surveyed spent less than 15 minutes a week in prayer. Okay. 65% of the ministers in the pulpit today spent less than 15 minutes a week in prayer. Now, I don't want a minister like that. We got one, I'm going to tell you right now, that prays. He's a praying pastor. And I hate for his lessons to get over his sermons on Sunday morning. I love to get up here and teach. But I hate to see the message in. He can make it for 2 hours if he felt like he could do it. I'd love it. But I'm really getting something out of this man's message. He's teaching what I call practical Christianity. He's taking the Scripture and telling me how you can apply it in your life. It's like he did with Peter this morning. This is what we need to know. This is why we're doing prayer. Because I think it's one of the greatest things that Christians misunderstand. It's the greatest tool that they have been given, and yet it is so much abused or not even used. Any other questions? This is fine. We have no timetable on this. This is fine. I want to get your questions answered. When we get through this series here, I want y'all to be absolute tremendous prayer warriors. Let me give you an example of an answered prayer this week. Excuse me. There's a gentleman that I know personally, he and his wife. They have 4 children. 3 of the 4 children have terminal illnesses. Okay? Now they're all under, I think, 12 years old. Now 3 of these kids have terminal illnesses. They have everywhere that they go, they're so environmentally sensitive. He's been trying to get enough money together to build a house out of certain materials so that his kids... They have moved from house to house to house because the kids that get in there, almost every week on a weekly basis, one of these children is in the hospital 4 or 5 days just to keep them alive. Okay, and this rotates. It'll be one kid 1 week, another kid the next week. And this is what this family's going through. Right now they're living in a little travel trailer, all 6 of them, and a little bitty trailer, that only two people should be in and take a vacation. This is what they're leaving because it's the only thing that they could find that the kids didn't get constantly sick every week because of the things that are inside the houses that they've been renting. My daughter and I and her family and a lot of other people that know these individuals been praying for him. He sings gospel music and he does some contracting work when he can by trying to take care of the kids with his wife. We've been praying for him to be able to get a place to live for their kids. Well, last week he was in Texas. I just want to tell you because it's answered prayer. Last week in Texas he was he did a little concert for a church in Texas down there. And he's a pretty good musician and he sings good. But he was doing this in there, and anyway, he was doing it for our benefit. The church let him do this to try to get us some donations. Well, at the end of the service and the little concert that he gave, a man walked up from the congregation and said, "How much do you need to build your house?" And he told him, I think it was something like $200,000. Something. The guy wrote him a check. Handed to him. You know, I mean, we've been praying for this for a long time. If you could meet this family, you'd just be, they're a wonderful Christian family. They have struggled and struggled and just put up with so much. You haven't lost faith, kept praying. You know, we all have. And we meet them from time to time and encourage them. So this man just came up and said, you know, they got to leave. They got another commitment to go to, so don't worry about it. They're not running out on us. But this gentleman, you know, out of the goodness of his heart, came and answered that prayer. So prayer is answered. We don't ever know what time or how God's going to do it, but He does answer. Sometimes not like we want, but He did in this case. So I just want to let you know that example that came this week that was such a great encouragement to all of us. And I thought, well, I'll tell that little story this morning because of that. So, you know, don't give up. I know it may not be answered. And I have a prayer request. I'm going to tell you all about it right now. I'm going to stop here for time's sake. I have need of an automobile. As you know, I deal with a lot of people who are in need. I have a need of an automobile right now. It has to run good. I can't spend a lot of money on it. It's for an individual who's been in the ministry for many, many years. I can't tell you all the details because you will probably know who I'm talking about. So I can't give you any details. This individual needs an automobile that runs good. It doesn't have to be something fancy. It just needs to be a good, dependable automobile that we're in need of to help this person right now. Let me tell you, this individual's given his life and his work to the Lord for many, many years. You wouldn't know who it is if I mentioned his name, which I'm not going to do that. I wouldn't embarrass him. But he has a great need for this right now. So any of you know of an automobile that's running good, looks decent, I mean it doesn't have to be something fancy, but looks decent, if you know of one that we can get for, I say we, there's a group of us together that are doing this for this person for $3,000 or less that I don't have to spend a lot of money on to get fixed up. Let me know, would you, please? I really need to see if we can't do something for this.
Can we take up a collection next Sunday?
Well, let me wait. I've got a person that's donated the money. We just need to find the car. Right now. Thank you, Ben. I appreciate it. I may do that. But like I say, if I mention this person by name, you know who I'm talking about and you would certainly feel that it was justified. So I'm gonna leave our study for prayer this right today. This is what it's about. Get our questions answered so that when we leave, I don't care if it takes 2 months to do this. That's what's important is that you leave here with a full understanding of what prayers are. By the way, a lot of you, are going to go teaching some classes for the next session and leave our class, and that's absolutely great. I call it graduating. So a number of you come up and tell me, well, I'm going to be teaching classes for the next session, And that's wonderful. I call that graduating. It's what you should be doing when you feel led of the Lord. Just let Vicki know that you're doing this so we can get our role and keep it straight and know where you are. Okay? Let's have a word of prayer. Lord, thank you for this morning. Thank you for the interest in this great subject that we have, which our greatest work as a Christian. I thank you for answered prayer that you've given us. Lord, I've issued a situation out that I've been praying for and some others for a good while. We just pray for your answer to come. Lord, we just lift up all of our sick folks. Our guests this morning, we ask that you put a blessing upon all of them. Lord, for Pastor John, as he brings the message here very shortly again to the next group of people. Let us take these things, put them in our lives, pray for these people on our sick list, our need list, Lord, and that we lift them up and concentrate it to you. In your holy and precious name, I ask these things. Amen. Y'all have a great week and call me if you need.